the Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos. The Magoos.
Tommy Beers is with me here on the Magoos couch this week. He's back for his second time behind the mic. Benny's logged some more annual leave, Cam, which is starting to get a little bit concerned.
Yeah, he's getting a bit lazy, isn't he? Very, very lazy.
So he's sunning himself on a sunbed, I think Bali maybe, Thailand, something
Thailand.
Tropical.
Thailand with a girlfriend. Yep.
Something very tropical. Might be asking an important question. Maybe that's just sort of popped into my head there.
Getting down on the knee.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't ask after she's had a chance to listen to this and it ruins the surprise. But that'll be funny.
No, this is coming out next week.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening. International listeners, yeah. You know.
Going global.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Happy days. So, yes, Tom from Triple M Footy's back. We had Rudy on last week. Fortunately, a few technical difficulties meant the audio didn't go public. But that episode, it's a cracker, and it's on YouTube, on the YouTube channel. So for anyone that wants to go back and have a listen. And he sort of potted you a little bit, Tom. So now's your chance to get one back
reply.
At him because you've been called in. This will even up the ledger at 2-2 episodes-wise for you guys.
Yeah, well, he was pretty quick to give me a couple of drive-bys when I saw him. Well, firstly on air when I didn't have a chance to respond, but also when I saw him the next day at work. So, they were pretty quick to get me back on, Rudy. So they didn't wait. And Ben did point out last week they had to get Rudy back for the second time before I came back for my second one because, you know, that just reflects
it. Evens it out.
Yeah. So, you know, they wasted no time getting my second episode in. So
absolutely. It's a good plan. And, of course, as we heard earlier, Cam, who is now absolutely undisputed executive producer of this show.
I've taken over. Yeah. Taken over the joint.
And it's about time. He's the only one that knows what any of this stuff in here does. So that's fantastic. He's got himself a mic. His opinions will be insightful. So that will be the voice we can hear chiming in from time to time, especially when we start talking about his Tigers. I reckon he might just start to get a bit excited
top.
Over there. But, well, you're not on top.
Did you say well, we're top? Back on top.
Well, you're fifth.
Finest form.
Okay,
you'd say post buy would be on the top, definitely.
Do they measure that? Because
I'm six. No, it'd be Lions, Tigers, Carlton. Yeah, third or fourth. Third
that
or
doesn't
fourth.
Seem like you researched that. Well, as we
estimated, guess
as we speak about the ladder, the Cats are they starting to get the wobbles, Tommy? What's the feeling down there? Because Rudy would, I reckon he'd be starting to shake a little bit in his boots.
He is petrified that they're going to run into Richmond in the first week of the finals, and rightfully so because the Cats, they have started to wobble a little bit, and a couple of their big names have just kind of slipped back a little bit in form, and they've
name them.
Well, I think Hawkins hasn't been as good as what...
Yeah, all the ageing stars.
Yeah.
All the ageing stars. He's gone for the headline.
They're fading.
Okay.
They're fading.
He's gone for the headline. Broxford's
led
ageing Cats.
Yeah, but yeah, they started... It was almost too good to be true the way they were playing at the start of the season, and it's proven to be that way. So they've still got time to turn it around, of course, because there's still a number of weeks left in the season to regain their form. But from what they've shown over the last couple of weeks, it's a bit of a worry for the Cats.
Well, I'll take the opposite view. Okay. I'm a fair rap for the Cats, have been for a while, and I reckon that this is a false fade out.
Still
a game plus a lot of percentage clear on top. They're obviously going through that July heavy training phase. You know, like it's a tough time to get motivated for any footballer, but I think they're probably doing a fair bit of work because they know that the game they need to win is 8 weeks away and they're going to have a double chance. They're going to play a home final. They'll be praying that
against
somehow
at the MCG. Yeah.
They'll be praying that doesn't happen, but what they'll be praying for is that Brisbane finish fourth and they can take them on at the Catteries and all of a sudden they bang through and then, I mean, you're not sure how that all works out, but, you know, I think that there's a legitimate chance they could end up with a qualifying final and a preliminary final down at the Cattery. I think that if the draw works out in the way that I think that it might, they could take on Brisbane and they could get a GWS down there. So, I mean, could be tricky because obviously plenty of other sides around the place, but I just think that, yeah, that you know, as you said, a few guys definitely are out of touch, and the result against Hawthorn was definitely a little bit of a shock. Don't get me wrong there, but I think that the Cats are just learned a little bit over the last couple of years. I think just about when they need to be peaking, when they need to be coming in their own, and you would hope so. Because what are they doing if they haven't? But if they don't. You know, I mean, you don't want to slip too far and lose all confidence, but I think with the quality that they've got running around, you know, through that midfield and the roles that Hawkins and Radigalia and, you know, the rest of that forward line with Myers and Rowan, you know, there are some guys definitely need to pick up their game, but I don't really see what they're missing. Maybe a quality ruckman, but they've seemed to be able to negotiate that pretty well. And I mean, Reece Stanley's a curious case because he seems to play really, really well, and then he just goes back to being missing, an absolute liability. Yeah. I'd still be keen to be on the Cats if I had had something on them, and if they continue to drift, I may have something on them.
The Stanley factor is huge because he's proven to just do this for so long and not be a... You need to play for at least three high quality games in final. I'm not sure he's got that in him.
Yeah, it's very true, especially big stage.
And you look at the other kind of teams that you're going to have to beat, and they've got that big presence in the ruck who can really kind of get a hold of most of the teams. And we saw with McAvoy what he did to Stanley on the weekend. He just tore him apart. So
probably be having nightmares, wouldn't he?
Yeah. that's got to be in the back of every Geelong supporter's mind, thinking like, you got this great midfield, but they're losing the midfield battle when Stanley doesn't show up. So,
do they go after a Paddy Ryder at the end of the year, who can they? I mean, we sort of thought they found the answer when they got Zach Smith, and then that didn't really hasn't really worked.
Well, they've tried to top up with those Darcy Fort and the other Abbott is the other one, and they've tried to kind of top up their ruck stocks in that way, but that hasn't proven to be the answer. So I guess they have to try and chase someone else if they do fall short and that's the missing piece, and Paddy Ryder or Todd Goldstein, who is on the market as well, or Sam Jacobs. We haven't seen much of him this year, but he's just not getting a look in over at the Crows, so maybe one of those kind of more...
Plenty of options.
Yeah, so maybe they'll start.
World's their oyster, the Cats.
Yeah.
Could build a dynasty. So from a team that's out of touch to a team that's in touch, don't look at the rundown, it's not on there, just thought of it then.
Have me worried.
The Bombers. Worried. The Bombers. They were good. They were really good, and they're playing some pretty good footy at the moment. I mean, while I don't think they're genuine threats, I think that with the quality that they can produce from some really quality players, that certainly one to watch, and you probably wouldn't really want to be coming up against them in a final, would you? I mean, everyone, you should be playing well if you're in the finals, but I think that there'll definitely be easier games for a couple of teams that might either lose the first week of the finals and have to play someone, or even finish 5th, 6th and have to take on the Dons, because they're in some pretty good touch, I think.
Couple of gutsy wins for them. Where they're
very un-Essendon
like
that.
Exactly, which is a good sign for Bombers fans. Yeah. Concerning for the rest
of us. Trust me, mortals.
But again, they could be another team that, you know, if Geelong run into a Richmond or a Collingwood at the G in the first week of the finals and, you know, have to play at the G and then back it up the week after against the Bombers. I know that he's losing sleep over this, and we've got a number of weeks left. So they can cause headaches. Their best has proven to be good enough. GWS have been one of the better sides in recent weeks, and they knocked them off, admittedly, at Marvel Stadium, not up in Western Sydney, but they've proven that
it's good enough, isn't it?
Yeah, their best is definitely good enough, so they could potentially cause some headaches. And we've seen some outsiders kind of make a bit of a run in the finals the last couple of years, so
maybe the stars are aligning. A fairy tale for the Dons.
I seriously
Thomas
hope
Pierce.
Not.
Well, don't we all? And it wouldn't be an episode of the Magoos if we didn't talk about coaches. So it goes from a few caretakers looking like they're no chance to get the job initially in Carlton's David Teague, and then North Melbourne, Reece Shaw, and now another one in Brett Ratten emerges after Richardson got the sack. And these guys seem to be, I know Ratten's only a week in, but he's probably the most highly touted out of the caretaker coaches. And
well, his credentials.
They all seem, I mean.
You take him, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a St Kilda.
If you're a St Kilda fan, you'd be fairly happy with Ratten, I think, at the moment. He's all but out of the race for the Carlton job because of how that ended last time. So there's only kind of North Melbourne or St Kilda that could potentially put their hand up for Ratten. He's already at St Kilda. He seems to have the players on board. So I think he's front and centre for that gig. Obviously, got a few weeks to unfold. And, you know, if he loses their next five, then everyone goes, well, maybe not. But from what we saw,
well, in one week... He was caretaker coach at Carlton for 6 weeks and didn't win a game and got that job. So,
more of a reflection of Carlton.
Maybe. Yeah, it's more of a reflection of the club, I think. Yeah.
Yes, but we don't have to drag Carlton to everything.
But the players got a round rat on the weekend. That was good to see.
Didn't they? Yeah,
gave him a Gatorade shower.
Yeah, a bit disrespectful if you ask me. But,
that was a bit...
Yeah, a bit weird, but the St Kilda, so I mean, but yeah, it sort of seems now that Reece Shaw and David Teague now the front runners for roles that they were probably never considered. I mean, if you believe the media sphere, that
have Carlton and the board and Juddy backed down on what they kind of said about Teague?
Well, I think that I think how Juddy has clarified it, which believe it or not, but was that he didn't consider Teague to be a coach with training wheels on because he's been a coach for 10 years. He's been at three different clubs and that sort of stuff. But I think we know what Chris meant. He's just hasn't quite got the balance right of board member to media personality, has he?
You're on to hide into nothing trying to balance those responsibilities.
Yes, it is. It is. I would suggest
you're so conflicted in what you know and what you can say and what you can provide for your programs and whatnot. So,
unfortunately, I have had to be critical of Chris Judd several times on this very podcast this year,
and he's coming for you.
It's not easy to do, but I think that Chris should probably step away from his role at Carlton at the end of this season.
It's either that or Footy Classified. He can't be on Footy.
Get off one of the sinking ships, Chris. You can't possibly keep.
You can't be on there.
Any excuse to get off a show that runs at 10 PM on a Monday night. I would have thought.
And just when you thought that it was all about, you know, the young and the new coaches, whatever, you know, Ross Lyon and Freo seem to be forever fractious, and things just don't feel like they're gelling there. So he's either cooking something up, or it's just typical Ross Lyon weirdness.
Yeah, there's a few rumblings, isn't there? That, you know, they started the season relatively well. They copped a pretty ordinary run of injuries for a few weeks there, and still kind of feeling that.
Heaps of close wins, though. That's the thing.
Yes, yeah. And actually, what started it all was round one, when they really gave North Melbourne a big touch-up and everyone went, geez, these guys can be
Ross
on.
Has turned the corner. He's a master coach.
Yeah, kind of set the bar high there, and then they've kind of faded out. The gutsy win against the – well, admittedly, the Swans had a few out as well, but – you know, you can only beat who you play, and but the reports from the West are that they're riding Ross pretty hard over there, and they're asking a few questions. So,
two team towns, a tough place to operate in, isn't it? And just before we have a quick break and get into our game of the week conference call with a couple of the great Nuffies, Jaden Stevenson, a bit of media. Well, I'm not even sure if you can call it backlash. We saw a couple of news producers, Matt Thompson being one of them, that ran with some of the most bizarre content you've ever seen, talking about our Jaden Stevenson. And even Wayne Carey said that it was a bad look or whatever. And I mean, Wayne.
Come on.
I mean, if there's a man that knows about. Bad ideas. But so surely, I mean, you're a Collingwood, you're paid up Collingwood member, been a Collingwood member for a long time. The boys got pumped on the weekend when you saw the photos of Stevenson. Did you go, oh dude, that doesn't sit right with me?
Absolutely not. I think this is one of the great blow ups of all time. That, like, it's what's the issue? Like, he's on a suspension. He can't contribute in any way. What do you want him to do? Just sit in his room for 10 weeks and just, you know, lock him away. Like, he's gone with his family. He's not going on bloody schoolies or anything. He's not getting pissed up on the Gold Coast. He's just going for 3 or 4 days, getting a bit of sun. Bizarre. Just
it's just, and I mean, Andrew Bogut made a really good point in a tweet that he said, you know, no wonder players have mental health issues, whatever. And it's like, he's gone to the, he would have been, like, and all the reports heard Adam Traller on AFL 360 talk about, he's been training in the house. Like, his program would be ridiculous. Like, they'd be running him into the ground because they think that he'll come back and play a role. Like, he'll step straight back into the side. And it's like, the bloke's got 4 days off.
And you've got to keep him hungry as well. Like, if you're just running 400s for 10 weeks, it's going to wear pretty thin.
You just can't do that sort of stuff.
Put him away for, you know, let him go on a break with his family. No big issue at all.
No, there's nothing there, is there? Well, we might as well get into this conference call and see who we've got on the line.
Let's do it.
Thomas, my favourite part of the show now, and I know that it's a part that you very much enjoy, is the Game of the Week conference call. Can hear our callers are eager to get involved already.
Try and hold them back. They're itching to get into it.
There was no debate in the production meeting a little bit earlier about which game was game of the week this week.
No brainer.
Huge Friday night game. Your boys, Colin, we're actually told we could have got you involved. I'm sure that at some stage you'll turn your nuff dials up and
absolutely.
And get involved in this one. But it is the fourth placed Collingwood versus the fifth placed Richmond. And we've got Matt, who is a Collingwood fan, and Mick is back, the diehard Richmond man from not too long ago, the fifth placed Tigers. Gentlemen, thanks for joining the Magoos for the conference call.
Good to be here, Jake.
Jake, Tom, Mick, how are we?
G'day, lads.
So we'll jump straight into it here, lads. Both teams are 11-6, but they've sort of gotten to this the pointy end of the season with their form in two very, very different places. Matt, how concerned are you about where Collingwood are at the moment?
Extremely, Jake. I'm not sure how there's anyone within Collingwood's fitness staff, how they still have a job. Our injury list continues to grow. Saw today that Ben Reid actually got injured within rehab. It's a struggling time down the Holden Centre, which adds a bit of pressure to Friday night, that's for sure.
Well, it's a massive game, isn't it? And Mick, on the contrast, you must be absolutely wrapped with where the Tigers are at and where they seem to be heading.
Yeah, it's good. Form's starting to come in at the right time of the year. Starting to get a few boys back that were missing sort of start the midway through the season. So all things Tigers at the moment.
Are you worried about Mason Cox at all really tearing you a new one yet again? If there's ever a team to play Mason Cox in the form, is it Richmond?
He's just a big crane mantis, isn't he? A bit of a goober. Not really concerned about him.
Well, famous last
words. At your own peril,
famous last words. So, Matt, we've already had a bit of a conversation about Jaden Stevenson, but now that we've got another Collingwood fan here, would love your take on the media furore around him going on a 4-day family holiday up to Queensland. As a paid up and proud Collingwood member, did that irk you at all?
Not in the slightest. He's copped a pretty big whack for a $39 multi. So if he wants to spend some time up on the Sunshine Coast while we get pissed on rain down in Melbourne for 4 days and wants to float that through his socials, then that's fine by me. It's a bit hysterical, the outcry, I think.
Yes, tend to agree, as was the popular consensus around here when we had the discussion earlier on the podcast, which people who have made it to this point would probably have already heard. So glad that you agree with us, Matt. We don't need to reiterate our opinions on the matter. So as we spoke about the Tigers' form, they are 2-4 against top 8 sides this year, Mick. So
pretenders.
Well, Matt, I'll get to you because Collingwood's record is a little bit better at 4-3. But Mick, do they still need to maybe take a couple more scalps, obviously, to really solidify the top four spot, but their claim to reclaiming their 2017 throne?
Yeah, probably. Well, I'm thinking as well that we were probably missing a few players in that time. We probably played those top side teams. But always a big game against the Pies, especially like we probably owe them for the last two times, being especially last year in finals. So, no, I think we got them this time. And, yeah.
How much are you going to win by, Mick?
Just 4 goals, I reckon. Just a 4.
I reckon you're being generous there. I reckon they might be right for the picking, the Pies. And, Matt, your thoughts on your boys? Can they turn this around?
I was wondering, firstly, if Mick was actually at that prelim final and just how much it hurt him. Nightmares about Coxie for a few weeks? Or...
I hate Mason Cox. Really, really hate him.
Look, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't nervous about Friday night, but I had written this off for a trip over to Perth not too long ago. backs against the wall, and had a good win. So I think in another similar situation this week, I think it'll be a very close game. I'm going to say Collingwood by 9 points.
Well, the Pies. Tom, do you agree your boys can overturn their recent slump?
Yeah, well, I tend to agree a little bit that the big occasion kind of gets the best out of a number of our key players. So I think that our recent
form... Except for the granny last year.
Well, yeah, if you had just replayed the first quarter, you'd write your own ticket for how much we won by. But yeah, well, let's not go over that again.
Right, Omi. Just about the...
But, yeah, so I'm relatively confident that we can bounce back this week and get it done over the Tigers. I think we match up pretty well against them, and, yeah, I think we'll get the points.
Well, there you go. I couldn't disagree more. I think Richard will win by about 50 points, lads. So whatever that's worth to you. Mick, Matt, thank you both very, very much for joining the podcast again for the Game of the Week conference call. Good luck bailing the crowds. I reckon they'll get about 90,000 there this Friday night. So enjoy, gentlemen, and thanks for joining the Magoos.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
See you, guys.
All right, another great conference call in the books. Tom, that was great. You know, you could listen
fantastic.
To one of the great...
It's beautiful, wasn't it?
Just representatives of your tribe. Matt loves it. And Mick, he's just Matt. a rusted on good Tigers man, the Mick. From I've forgotten the word. From a good family, but you know what I was trying to say.
Good background.
Anyway, moving on. So, Kama, as we spoke about earlier, you've got the producer mic over there. So we're up to three.
Must be really struggling now that I'm on the mic, eh?
Well, we've had to write the questions out because we know that when you like to do them, you just sort of say a couple of weird things. Like, you know, could Nick Blakey be the fourth best?
Keep your ears tuned because they may still feature.
So, Kama, take us off a three-man weave here, will you?
First one. Scott Thompson's ruptured testicle. Is that the bravest thing we've ever seen on a footy field? Playing a half of footy with a squash testy.
I don't think it can have been good. I don't even think you can comprehend it. No. Like, you just can't.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, you get kicked in the balls.
There's not too many worse injuries to get, is there?
And I'm assuming it's not very visually pleasing. Like, so when
but what
happen?
I want to know is he going to get it cut off? Or is it still going to be in use?
Is he playing this week?
I'm not sure.
He is, yeah. He's playing this week. Yeah.
So, I mean, I just...
Quick turnaround.
Can't imagine the sheer terror of being like, that hurt, and then having a look and then thinking, oh, yeah, I'll just go out and play. Hugely brave.
Yeah, probably, very brave.
Very, very brave. Stupid.
Next one, boys. Should the Lions defender Harris Andrew have been rubbed out?
This is an interesting one.
On the weekend.
Because... It looked fairly innocuous. Like, it wasn't... First of all, it wasn't on the broadcast, so no one really knew about the incident. Many may not still know about it, but they needed to go to the behind
the goals.
We'll
have some images up now for the viewers.
Yeah.
On the YouTube.
On the YouTube.
I think...
What number one platform at the moment?
Because we haven't paid our bills.
I think he's pretty unlucky.
Yeah, there was a lot of force.
You see a lot of those let go, and you know, there's ones where we get Gary Ablett who did it three weeks in a row and got off twice. And
yeah,
you know,
I don't really have
a strange one, but
I don't really have too many problems with him getting reported. And you sort of could see he showed the remorse. I think that there was a quote that he said that he heard his teeth chatter when he hit him. So I think he sort of realised that he might have
done.
And
so.
I mean, but just because it didn't, but what the MR. I was been doing is basing things on the outcome, and the outcome was that he was okay.
He took a free kick and kicked a goal and played out the game and kicked a couple for the game.
He hit him high, but he obviously didn't hit him with the force required to, you know, knock him out or, you know, break his jaw or whatever. So, yeah, it's very, very inconsistent just for a change from our old mate, my question there at the MRO, I'm sure.
He's the most hated man.
Yeah.
Next one, boys. Should, I have a lot of pleasure in asking this one as well. Should Tex be dropped? Should he?
Nah.
You said this last time.
Nah. Stand by you, man. Tex is one of the most heavily scrutinised people in the game. And I think sometimes with good reason.
Yeah.
But you stand by. I'm not sure
it's a
whether
big call
or,
dropping your captain.
I think you need to be
huge,
going worse than he's going to be dropped as captain.
Yeah,
and you need him if you're going to play finals anyway. Yeah. So.
Well, that's the thing. They've got such a soft draw. I mean, they play the informed Blues this week, and they'd be nice because of our pick spot.
That's a big game.
It's at the G too, I think.
Big.
So
the old stomping ground
in Melbourne. So Yeah, that'd be nice to beat Adelaide, especially with the pick swap we've got running with them at the moment. Nice to edge a little bit subplot. Closer to them. That is a nice little subplot, but right now I'm taking the pick three for pick 11 and Stocker. So I'm taking that because we'll trade the first round pick anyway. Mm-hmm. We'll get Jack.
We'll hold you to that. So,
yeah, absolutely. I think Stocker's quite a good little player.
We'll replay this.
It's Jack Martin now. He's going to fix all that's wrong at Carlton.
Well, I don't think there's that much wrong at Carlton anymore, Tom. Right. So you just make sure that you win a flag soon.
That's a headline. All right, boys, next one. Mick Malthouse, was he joking when he said he wanted to coach again?
I hope so.
He's just having a laugh, isn't he, Mick?
He's just trying. He knew that was going to be a headline, I think. And he
was just trolling.
Might have just tried to get his mug in the paper one more time.
Maybe he's just seeing if anyone's dumb enough to just be like, oh, we'll get you as a director of coaching and then you'll be there for a year for $750,000 and then
retire.
Yeah.
Because you look at it, like, who would need him? Carlton, there's no way.
Well, we were saying before, I think he thinks everyone's just forgotten what he's done in Carlton.
Well, he took 1 year out of the game between giving up at Collingwood and taking the role. While being pushed out at Collingwood and taking up the role at Carlton, the game went completely past him in 1 year. Now he's been out of the game for how many years and he's just going to step straight back in and just pick up all the trends and just coach like he was in the glory days.
Yeah, he was outdated 3 or 4 years ago, so it's not out. But it was interesting seeing Nick Graham on Twitter just retweet it and say lol, and then Mark Robinson had a go at Nick Graham in an article, which was very strange as well.
Did you see Murphy's press conference?
Yeah.
As well? He was like stumped.
Maybe this should have been our media watch segment.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. But I mean, do we really need to talk about Mick Malthouse for that long? Yeah. I mean, he's already got what he wanted. He only wanted to be mentioned here, let alone blow up on the mainstream channels, I'm sure.
Thanks for listening.
Next one, boys. Yeah. How excited should St Kilda be about Hunter Clark?
Yeah, huge, rate him, big. But you know what? I asked for this to be on the rundown because I like how they've been patient with him. It's a bit Grind Myers-esque. Like, you know, when you're getting beaten, I think that, you know, and they've been similar with Caulfield. Like, they've let them develop a bit. It's probably to Richardson's detriment, really.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
But, like, they've let these guys earn their stripes just a little bit more, whereas for a lot of teams, the temptation is to just play them and just, you know, like, they might get slaughtered, whatever. And I think that you know, Carlton have sort of had to find that balance a little bit, and it depends the profile of your list as well. But, you know, I mean, watching Carlton play a lot, you know, like Petrevsky, Seaton, a couple of those guys were probably playing too much, but you thought, well, they just let them develop. And that's, you know, I think that if you do have the luxury of being able to put guys like Hunter Clark and Coffey and those sort of guys who are really good players.
And they're so young. Yeah. And for a club that's been, well, the outside criticism is they don't have many A graders, and you see these kids actually show a bit and maybe be that next generation of A graders. And I think there's a lot to be excited about when you see those things happen,
especially after the weekend.
Yeah, I think there's also a bit of a St Kilda stigma that even when there are A graders at St Kilda, you sort of go like, oh,
Like, I mean, are they?
I mean, they're pretty irrelevant, like, regardless of what they won one flag in 1500 years. So, like,
that's why no one knew who Ben Cunnington was until he was 28 at North Melbourne.
Everyone just goes, oh, yeah, he's all right.
Everyone thought he was Lee Adams the whole time.
All right, boys, next one. I don't know what this next one is. Xavier Dersma. Bowen Arrow, yes, no. Oh, yeah, no, I actually thought...
Speak about another storm in a teacup.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that was in the Richmond game. I should know about that.
Yeah.
I saw Xavier Dersma, and you know what the name that popped up in my head was?
Xavier Clark.
Josh Bootsma.
That's strange. Yeah, it's got nothing. No, this is a Bootsma free zone, the podcast.
I liked how...
We can put up his pics if you
want. Can we get a split screen of Dersma and Bootsma? Anyway.
Different type of bow and arrow, I think, isn't it?
Dersma, I don't think he realises how bad it's going to look in, like, embarrassment-wise when he's in the peak of his career going, what a deal when I was 18. But at the moment, I don't hate it. Like,
He definitely handled it well.
He didn't hang him out to dry, but he just said he might sit him aside and say, you know what, pick your moments.
Secretly give him a little bit of a
clip. But at least he didn't publicly go.
I don't know. Like, I mean, those sort of things, like, it tends to anger all these people on Twitter, doesn't it? Like, people go, you know, what a wank or whatever. And then when Patrick Dangerfield only says stuff, you know, that is like positive PR for his club or the AFL. Everyone goes, oh, he's just a robot of the AFL. Yeah. Like, just a pub.
Yeah.
And then Dersma does something that it's not even controversial. Like,
yeah.
It's just a celebration that he's just a kid, like, yeah. living his dream. And people pile onto him. So, I mean, you can't win, can you? But, yeah, I mean, just let the kid in. He's obviously having fun doing it, you know, like, getting a huge laugh from his mates, probably. And
would you be doing that down at War Memorial Park on a Saturday afternoon?
I don't kick a lot. I actually kicked a goal a couple of weeks ago. And, gee, I thought about really carrying on. Nah, I didn't really sort of give too much. Was, I mean, it was not to make this the Jake Lambert show, which I mean, it pretty much is. It was actually a nice goal. It was from about 50 out, too. Obviously, a defender sort of roaming forward. We were up by 12 goals at the time, so I couldn't really carry on too much. But just a little turn to the crowd and the non-existent crowd.
Did your opponent know about it? Back
someone else.
Back
I didn't. Someone else sort of did. I was in the back line, but yeah, didn't think of pulling out the bow and arrow. That might have might have really been insightful. Like really fired things up a little bit, I think. But yeah, keep doing it, Xavier. I like it.
On to the next one, boys. All right, Connor McKenna. Is he really heading to his brother's wedding on the weekend?
Yeah, it's a bit. I mean, I've got no problem with it, but it's very very local sport, isn't it? Missing professional sport for a wedding. It's a bit jarring, I think.
It's like I'll be back for the VFL on Sunday or something. Like,
playing the twos first and then go to the wedding.
McLeod did that to us.
Oh, of course, they did give you a bit of a touch-up, didn't they, on the receiving end.
So it is fun, so. Anyway.
But, yeah, so he obviously has to go to Ireland for the wedding.
Yeah.
Is the,
They are playing the Gold Coast, so they're the laughing stock of the comp.
And also being an Irishman, it doesn't mean as much to you, I wouldn't assume, as you know, if he had been playing footy for.
I thought you meant the wedding. Sorry.
Oh, no.
I was like, I think the Irish still get married.
Missing a game of AFL probably doesn't mean as much on a personal level to an Irishman to what it would be for a regular AFL player as well. If this was kind of his only shot to kind of make it or break it, if he was playing for a contract, it might be a different story, but he's been playing quite well. So I don't think, I think he's got his priorities in line there.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it also sort of speaks, as you said, coming out of the AFL environment, is it, you know, like I would suggest most AFL players' brothers wouldn't get married in July. Like, because they know, you know, brother might be playing, you know, footy, whatever, but obviously from that different system. And, yeah, I think that, you know, it all sort of rolls back into the, you know, talking about the Jaden Stevenson thing from before. You know, you've got to let them try and be humans and find the balance in their life. And, I'm sure that there'll be people out there that'll say, oh, if it was a final, he wouldn't be missing it and this, that, the other. I'd suggest that he probably would be.
Yeah. It's also, like, probably looks poor on him back in Ireland to say, oh, he didn't even bloody come back for his brother's wedding to play a stupid game of Aussie football. Yeah. Like, who cares about football? Yeah. That'll be there when he goes back.
So. Yeah, I think that, you know, just to close this one out, is that I think that a lot of sportsmen have reflected, sports people have reflected at the end of their careers about, you know, the social connections that they sort of have missed out on a little bit through.
Missing out on the big stuff.
Yeah, like, and I mean, James Pattinson, I know, missed a game of state cricket, I think it was, last season to go to a wedding. It was a footballer's wedding, I think. Good mates with Tom Lynch from Adelaide.
Yep.
And, yeah, I think that, you know, the more you sort of see them trying to balance their commitments, obviously, you know, you can't do it every second weekend like a lot of local players do. But, yeah, I think that's probably better for people's longevity in the game and then even their entire lifestyle and well-being, which is not bad.
All right, boys, on to some early trade talk. Ooh. Anthony Tippenwundi.
Oh,
that's a proper,
probably have another go.
I would have said Tipper. Yeah. Would you like him at your club? He's delayed his contract talks, apparently.
Well, depends what you need. You've got a good forward.
Yeah, well, you know, what do you need to give up for him? Was he
Tigers don't need him.
How much small salary?
Forward power. Okay.
Yeah. Careful.
Carlton would take him in a heartbeat.
I think,
I
probably wouldn't because I think he's a little bit overrated. But, yeah, we are looking for that small forward sort of role.
Fasolo fell on its face.
Yeah, Fasolo sort of did, didn't it? But, you know, it's not about the first year, three or four year deal. It's about the – we sort of have to stick to that. But I heard a little rumour Eddie Betts might be returning to Carlton, not that Eddie's sort of the player.
Well, would you take – Eddie as well, at a however old he is, 33.
Yeah, you probably get him for nothing, especially in the touches in at the moment. But
in a development stage where he's taking a spot of a potentially up and coming player,
just going through this loop of sort of like playing midfielders in small forward and
Kennedy
going to get a kick. So yeah, like Kennedy set a field, like they tried Gibbons there, whatever. So I think Carlton are in the need of a bona fide small forward.
You guys are searching. searching hard.
So, I mean, Tip wouldn't be
have
too
we mentioned
bad,
the forward pocket from Sydney? What's his name?
Papley.
Papley?
That'd be a good game.
Papley would be the one.
Yeah, you were talking to him apparently.
Yeah, that'd be...
I want him.
I want him. Yeah,
good find.
Mark that down. That'd be that. That's the one we want. Tom Papley, come to Carlton.
All right, boys. On to the lucky last one. Finish with Scotty Thompson again. Surely that wasn't a free, lads. Yeah, so was I was obviously reading that.
I was really reading the script. Yeah, that was poor, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was poor. Just bad freaking.
It was horrible, extremely amplified. Like if it had happened halfway through the first quarter, no one would really be talking about it. But
it's good the AFL have finally owned up to something.
Yeah, it was interesting they didn't own up to the one that cost Brisbane a goal at the other end with Ben Brown in the ruck contest. Yeah, there was another soft one up the other end, and that was kind of the equal. You know, it kind of leveled it up a little bit, yeah, it wasn't great. 20 metres out, straight in front, minute to go, scores a level, and you call an extremely soft free kick. Like,
I think that, and the funny thing about it is that, you know, we always talk about umpires having no feel for the game. Umpire was Lee Fisher,
who played
at the level.
Yeah.
And just, you know, but even there was one with Lee Fisher when Hodge blocked the guy out from for marking, and then he changes, he paid the block, and then Hodge and then sort of looked at him, and then he said, oh, no, Mark, like, he just changed on the run. So, I don't know. I think Lee might need some time in the VFL because, yeah, there was a couple of strange calls from him there. But, Camo, you've just ticked off three-man weave.
Yeah, first one.
Look at you go. Great discussion. You must be thrilled.
All right. Yeah. Good chat.
Lads, well, I think that you've both done a great job. Do you think I've done a great job?
Yes, Jake. I'm always on team, Jake.
You've done a great job, Jake.
Thanks, mate. Cheers. Yeah. So, Tommy, good luck for your Pies this Friday night. It's a big game. Equal luck to your Tigers.
Not as much, but yeah.
Well,
you don't need the luck.
Yeah, I was just about to say, they don't need
the
luck.
Yeah.
I'll give you as much luck as I can. I don't really care. It's one of those great games for
it always for is when the Ties and Pies play.
It's always a big event.
Yeah,
big
Facebook will blow up either way, so I'm looking forward to that.
And good luck to your Blues, who can potentially even up that pick swap even further.
So much.
Yeah, I think it's a massive game. Massive game.
He's hoping. Magoo's viewers, listeners, hopefully the audio of this episode is out. Would be very nice. Cam's been cautiously looking at that laptop an awful lot. So
hopefully it comes out.
That'd be nice. But if not, you're obviously, of course, on YouTube if you're watching this. So make sure you share, like, subscribe, follow us on all the social media accounts. And give us a review on your podcast app. That'd be really nice. It'd be a nice thing to do. I'm not sure when Ben's back. He might be sunning himself for another week, so he might have
another one.
Might have another guest host next week, and God knows if Jack's going to turn up. But Cam, if it's just you and me, we'll just ride or die. Tom, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks,
all the best with all your future Triple M endeavours. We hope you and Rudy come to terms with your feuding guest host position.
Don't get him back next week if Ben's away. I live around the corner.
All right, that might do us, lads, I think. So enjoy the weekend of footy, Magoo's viewers, and thanks for listening.